staff's not that high, but you could still do 3 times 7 to 8 a day. Our average revenue per facial is probably around 150. So you could do 60,000 a month if you did 400.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today, we're joined by Tim Mulcahy, founder and CEO of Skin Experts, Skin Experts by Brentwood Spa. This is our second facials brand that we've had on the pod. There are even more out there. This is clearly an emerging category. Something's happening here in skincare. The question is, are any of these brands going to actually gain traction? It seems like the kind of thing where everyone's wait and see. Nobody wants to be franchisee number one. I think once it starts gaining some steam and we start seeing successful, happy, profitable franchisees, it's going to take off. But it seems like a slow grow initially.
Right. This is the story of bet on the jockey, not the horse. This guy built a $4 billion company that went public in the energy space. So I would expect this guy to understand how to scale a business, how to support his franchisees. And what we talked about today with that flat royalty, the fact that all products are proprietary, they make all of them, they manufacture everything. That's interesting to me because they're not subject to their franchisees buying products from third-party vendors. They're manufacturing it. So I think that increases profitability, I would say at least 10 points to the bottom line because how he's controlling distribution, pricing, and that flat rate royalty at $1,500, you said it best on the show. It's unheard of. For brick and mortar beauty, unheard of.
I don't know that anyone else is doing that. At a $1,500 a month flat rate, if you're doing 60,000 a month top line, it's 2.5%.
That's impressive.
They're obviously, yeah, they're making their money on the products, but the brand's sexy. You have a successful entrepreneur behind it. They have to sell franchises. They have to grow it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, enjoy the show.
All opinions expressed by Cliff, Justin, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Phrenosity and Pursuit of Profit. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions.
I swear, like half of Instagram now is women showing their daily skincare routine and protocol. And now we're starting to see this creep into franchising. We had one of your competitors on a couple of months ago. There's now multiple brands getting into this skincare space. And it's starting to feel, Tim, like this is what happened years ago before massage became a monthly membership thing in franchising. And everyone before that was just going to a luxury day spa and spending a couple hundred bucks on a massage a couple times a year. Is this what you see happening? Like, it's just going to be facials will be a normal part of our month, you know, one or two facials a month, and everyone's getting facials.
I mean, I would like to go. Listen, if there was a Skin Experts near me, I would be going. I mean, it is self-care. And ultimately, you know, the world is more stressful today, I guess, in real terms than it ever has been. Although, listen, we've always been at times where the world's been difficult. Think about through the wars and Vietnam and all that, but it seems like everybody's more stressed out more than ever. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, social media and, you know, my life's not as good as theirs and I need to look better and, you know, that type of world today. I mean, I personally am not on social media because I don't have the time to waste. I'm too busy understanding that the world's more competitive than ever before. If people do need the self-care. I mean, if you got a choice, okay, I'm going to go for self-care once a month, which a lot of our clients come in more than once a month. But let's say even once a month might seem like a lot to go for a facial. Like, I like the business because I did go for facials before COVID, probably once every 3 months. You know, I would go to my local spa, go for a facial, you know, just as a form of self-care. Listen, if you go for a massage or go for a facial, what would you rather go for? Well, when you go for a facial, usually you get a bit of a massage too. So, you know, that for me was not an uncommon thing, but that was maybe once every 3 months. But today, a lot of our clients come in at least once a month or more often. than once a month. And I think it's, okay, if I'm going to go for self-care, do I want a massage or I want something to do with my face? One's going to make me look better. One's going to make me feel better. One's going to make me feel better and look better. Well, I'll go for the one that's going to make me feel better and look better rather than the one that's just going to make me feel better.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah. You know, that's the consensus with facials. It is becoming more common. Our clients are coming in more, but obviously wherever we are, not everybody where we live, you know, is a client. We'd like them to be.
Self-care, obviously. Self-care has been very resilient. It's something that people consider to be discretionary spending, but the massage brands weathered many economic storms and the great financial crisis, and people continue to focus on self-care during stressful times.
Yeah, I mean, it's healthy, right? It's good for you.
Exactly. Look and feel good. That's a win-win.
Yep.
Yeah. I have to go back. Tim is a serial, highly accomplished entrepreneur, and we'd be doing the audience a disservice if we didn't touch on the multi-billion dollar business that he's created. He's an accomplished author of a sales training book. So can you go back, Tim, take us back, like your beginning. You're inspiring to people listening. You got a great background.
Yeah. I mean, I did not grow up in a family where wealth was discussed. I grew up in Ottawa, Canada. My dad was the manager of Canadian Press. My mom didn't work. We weren't poor, but we had one washroom, you know, three brothers and one washroom. My dad didn't make a lot of money, although it was the head of Canadian Press. He oversaw the journalism and images that went into papers across Canada, but he didn't get paid a lot of money. Family overall, extended family, grandparents, nobody ever talked about money. So it wasn't something that was discussed in the household, being wealthy. This is the late 60s and early 70s. And, you know, if a nice car drove down the road in my neighborhood, that would have been a Corvette. There wouldn't have been any exotic cars like Ferraris or Lambos or anything like that at that point in time. But, you know, I'd point that out and there'd be kind of no comment. Okay. Finances were not discussed. So when I was apparent that I wasn't going to probably graduate from high school, I did skip a grade in school. I would have graduated when I was 16, but neither my parents or my teachers had done any goal setting with me or my grandparents, you know, about what I was going to do or be. And I mean, in grade 12, I think when they asked everybody what they were going to be, the school that I went to, half of it was like where I lived, where one parent worked and they were kind of middle class or a little, you know, somewhere in there at that time. And then half of it were fairly wealthy Jewish business people. And, you know, most of those kids, you know, had their hands up, lawyer, doctor, accountant, and came around to me. And it's like, I didn't know. Right. So the teacher said, get out in the hall. Because I didn't know what I wanted to do at the beginning of grade 12. So, you know, as it went around, I took a part-time job on the phone, telemarketing for Filter Queen Vacuums, getting leads. And I enjoyed it. You know, I was always competitive. I always played sports and was very competitive and liked it. And I'd been there for a few months and I wasn't doing that well. And one of the sales guys was getting his own office in Peterborough, Ontario. And he said, Tim, when I get my own office, why don't you come and sell for me? And I said, yeah, okay. And, you know, I talked to my mom about it and my dad and if they'd be able to co-sign a car for me. And my dad told me, hey, me and your mom looks like we're not going to make it. We're going to be splitting up and I'm not going to be able to co-sign a car because if you miss the payment, I wouldn't be able to pay the mortgage. So I actually talked my grandparents into co-signing a vehicle for me. Although my grandmother wanted me to go to school and be a lawyer, that wasn't going to happen. My grades weren't that good and I wasn't that motivated to go to school. But they co-signed a car and I quit school when I was 16 and I started selling vacuums. And I remember my boss, KK Fury, gave me this book, Think and Grow Rich. Mm. And I read it and it meant nothing to me at the time. It was like, really? This can't be even true. Actually, it was repelling to me. Mm. I've read the book probably 10 more times since then, but at the time, it was like, this can't be true. You can't actually think and grow rich. This doesn't make any sense. Wealth had no place in my brain at all. But as the first couple of years as a salesperson was really tough, I was on 100% commission. I was always on 100% commission for the 9 years that I sold in the field. And my first couple of years were tough. But after about 2 years, I started to get good at it. And I started to make, by the time I was 18, I was making $40,000 a year, which was probably more than my dad. By the time I was 20, I was making 100. And by the time I was 23, I was making over $500,000. This is in the mid 80s. Then I started my own business. And that was knocking on doors in small town Saskatchewan. I mean, the average person was making 50. I was making over 500. I was just super motivated and into it. I was a little different. Like the other, there was a lot of other really good home improvement salesmen, and that's what I was selling. But most of them would, you know, go out and take advantage of a customer and then not work for 2 weeks and go party. And I would just work every day, all day, and I would just put in a fair margin on my deals, not a gouging type margin. Mm-hmm. And I worked it more like a blue collar worker rather than, okay, I made some sales, I made some money, I can go to the bar now. It's like a regular job type of thing, except I usually work more hours than a regular job. And then I started a series of door-to-door sales companies and ended up meeting my partner, Pearson McDonald, God bless him. He was a great sales trainer. I was a great salesperson, but I didn't know much about theory. He trained me on it. He was like 16 years older than me. He'd been selling encyclopedias for 16 years, and he was a real theorist. Started explaining me the theory of what I was doing. And then we started to teach this to hundreds and then thousands of other people in various door-to-door sales businesses. The one business we got into in the energy business did run up to about $4 billion a year in sales from door-to-door and business-to-business selling. And, you know, ultimately, it was just a matter of, hey, we were in a rare business. That the fact that, you know, sometimes in those first 2 years, I wanted to quit a few times, and even in the first three, but I had nothing to go back on. My bridges were literally burnt behind me, and there was nothing to fall back on, so I just had to go forward with it.
Love it. Look what you built with it.
You have heard from so many exciting franchise brands in a podcast, and you may be sitting there thinking about which ones could be the best fit for you. If this is the case, give us a call. We provide a free consulting service to prospective small business owners like yourself, and we will help you take a disciplined approach to determining which brands could be the best fit for you. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit www.franosity.com. That's www.franosity.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Did you sell the energy company?
That one ended up going public. And then I left a little after we went public. My partner, Rebecca McDonald, she ended up running it. She was 6 times the woman CEO of the year in Canada.
Wow.
You know, I had been in the energy business for 12 years and I'd had enough. I wanted to get into the health and wellness business. And so I kind of left for that reason, or a couple of reasons. I've been into some various businesses, but I'm back in the energy business now along with Skin Experts. And I've got an energy brokerage company in the US and an energy supply company in Canada. And those are two of my activities along with Skin Experts.
Tim, so bridge the gap here. Take us from the energy company. How did Skin Experts all come together?
You know, it really came together from a friend of mine during the CBD craze saying, you know, CBD and skincare, Tim, we should do something. It's CBD is super hot. And I needed another business like a hole in the head, to be honest with you. I did know some skincare formulators, people that had been in the skincare business. And I asked them what they thought about CBD and skincare. And one of them, Ginger Fox, said, well, Tim, I developed the first CBD skincare 7 years ago. And yeah, it really is a good ingredient because of two reasons. One, the essential fatty acids, which are super high in moisture, and also it seals in the moisture in your skin. And I said, well, could you come up with a product with CBD and some other great ingredients? And she and her friend, that I know both of them, they happened to be going to the Paris skincare show that year. It would have been early 2019. And they said, yeah, Tim, the hottest ingredients are CBD, probiotics, and microalgae. And I said, okay, well, why don't we make some products that those are the three foundation products? And that's really how the skincare line started. And then we started selling it directly, which is my business, selling B2B. We started selling to spas, and we sold it to about 500 spas from the end of 2019 in early 2020. And then COVID hit, and the skincare business was just knocked on its butt, because unlike food, you can't take out a facial. Any personal service business, whether it would be massage, skincare, or hair cutting and that type of thing, was really down to zero. So we had some time to sit and think, and it was, you know, there is no facial spa that you can go to that you can trust that, hey, the treatment's good, the cost is fair. Where I live, down in Southern Cal, just outside of San Diego, the town I live in, Rancho Santa Fe, which a facial in there, it starts at like $335 or something like that. And our one-off facial, where we give the works, is only $135, but if they buy a membership, they can get it as low as $70, right? So, and it's probably a better facial than you'd get in Rancho Santa Fe for $335. You know, so even if you go a little further out from where I am, you know, to the spa over there, Rancho Valencia, it's like the base facial's like $225, $250 type of thing. It's like, I don't know if it's doing my skin any good or not. I mean, if it's tearing my skin apart a little bit, I'm not sure if it's any good. Now that I'd learned more from Shelly Hancock, our chief beauty officer, that, you know, all this ripping and tearing at your skin actually isn't good for your skin, which would make sense that it wouldn't be.
Right.
Okay. Because I'd seen some of the things that my wife had done to her own skin, although she has good skin and looks good, but it just seems that, hey, sometimes people will do anything to want to appear better, even though it might be damaging for their skin.
Right. That was the beginning. So you actually created it. You didn't acquire it. You created the concept and started opening locations.
We created the concept of affordable luxury skincare you can trust. Yes.
Location number one was Brentwood.
That's right.
Okay.
You mentioned that you're not the most expensive, but you have numbers and KPIs and metrics here in your pitch deck. I'm assuming they're in your franchise disclosure document. You're showing 81% gross margins.
Well, we don't, obviously, the cost of doing a facial is time, right? So that's the esthetician's time. And we manufacture all of our own products. So the back bar, the component of the products, is not very expensive if you're the manufacturer. Most skincare companies charge the spas that they sell to 50% of retail. Because we manufacture our own products, our franchisees, our offer to them is 65% off. So there's a much better margin for them. Instead of 50%, it's closer to 200% margin on their products that they sell. So it's a really good deal for the franchisee. I mean, also our franchise fee, most franchises charge, call it an average of 6 to 8% plus advertising, an average of between 8 and 11%. So let's say you're doing $60,000 a month in sales, you're paying $5 to $65 to the franchisor. Ours is $1,500 flat.
Flat rate royalty.
And we give 65 off. So it's a very low royalty, and we want our franchisees to succeed. Yeah, a lot of franchisees and a lot of businesses, as you know, they end up not being profitable, not making a lot of money.
Wow, that's interesting, Tim. So you have a flat rate royalty. Obviously, they have to buy the product from you. So you're picking up the revenue stream because you manufacture the product and are getting a deep discount. What about the national ad fee? What did you do with that?
We don't have a national ad fee currently.
Okay.
That's interesting for a concept like this, and extremely rare.
I agree.
To have a flat rate royalty.
I mean, it has to be win-win. I mean, we want to have 1,000 locations, and the only way we're going to do that is if it's win-win.
Very interesting. So let's go to, you know, franchisees and prospective franchisees love anything proprietary. You cannot get this anywhere but here. What exactly are you manufacturing? Is it the creams, the serums? Is it the exfoliation products?
Yeah, it's every product.
It's every product.
It's the bar, it's the peels, it's the exfoliation. We've got two cleansers, one gentle, one... It is really gentle, but it's an exfoliating cleanser, so it's a little more of an exfoliant. And our peels, TCA peel, enzyme peel, radiance peel, all of our serums and creams, our mask, et cetera. Yeah, so everything we manufacture, there's no product that they would need besides what we provide.
There's nothing medical about this. We're hiring estheticians to apply product, use certain tools to do facials. We're not injecting Botox and all that other stuff.
There's nothing invasive. No, the whole goal was to be not invasive.
Okay. Yeah.
Again, when we started off and we started to research the business, and you know, we had people like HydraFacial come in and rip at my skin. My wife would never let them get nearer, although she would do other stuff to her skin. But you know, the thing about it is that we did not want to have invasive type treatments. The whole idea is we can treat your skin. Shelly can treat your skin in a really great way without being invasive.
Interesting. HydraFacials claim that they're non-invasive.
That's interesting, right, Cliff? Because
yes,
we had another brand on the show, and I believe they did a lot of the HydraFacials.
Well, it's the most popular facial in the world. Every 15 seconds, someone in the world is doing a HydraFacial. So if you flip the script and figured out a better way of doing that they're claiming it's non-invasive, but you're right. There's a lot of...
I have heard that you don't want to pull.
Right.
Yeah. Like my skin was red and sore after going for a HydraFacial. I mean, my skin would be normal. It would not be tough or sensitive. And that's why we kept looking. You know, we said, there's no way that we want to rip and tear people's skin. It's just not something we wanted to do. So I think that HydraFacial Zone is a public company, right? Their own share price would indicate that it's maybe not as popular as it was 2 years ago.
Mm. Interesting. Okay. This is a huge market. Just U.S. facial skincare market, $27
billion. Yeah, and growing. As you know, skincare, like I've got a 13-year-old. She just turned 13. I mean, all she wanted to do was go to Sephora.
That's right.
Yep.
I mean, there are like skin, it's starting at a very young age.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
You know, it's not going away. So the marketplace is very large. And again, if there was a skin expert near us, I would be there probably weekly. My Shea would be there probably weekly. Shea's skin's better than mine, so maybe every 2 weeks. She's a lot younger. Pretty sure my 13-year-old, she's got a bit of acne. She would be there regularly. We've got a great teen acne program, and I'm sure my wife would be there regularly. Like, you know, the thing about it is to get great skincare treatments that are non-invasive is, as you say, there's the self-care aspect of it, and then there's the beauty aspect of it. You're covering both at once.
Yeah, Justin, I got that whole hashtag Sephora Kids trend. These are the kids that have beautiful skin, but they're still buying rejuvenators and collagen boosters. Yep. And it's like you're 20, you're 15, you're 18.
No, they're going for lip injections at 14 or younger.
Crazy.
I mean, I personally don't agree with that, but it's each to their own. I mean, I think that's been overdone. You know, I think when it becomes obvious that you're doing something, that's when enhancement doesn't look good. It's when you're enhancing your actual beauty, your natural beauty, that I think it looks better. But it's each to want to do what they want to do.
You're going to see things swing back to natural.
Yeah.
Totally.
I agree with you.
You think so, Justin? I don't think so. No, I think the pendulum's gone and it's going more.
The pendulum's
all right.
Gone.
All right, let's come back in a couple of years because
the Kardashians are taking this to a whole new level, and I don't think it's going away.
The pendulum always swings too far.
I've never had someone say the pendulum's gone.
It can't stay there.
There's no pendulum. It's gone.
It's the Kardashian effect. It is the Kardashian effect for sure.
Tim, you know, how big can the lips get? At some point, it's like dangerous.
I agree. I think if it's obvious, it doesn't look good. It looks like, in my opinion, if it's obvious, it doesn't look good. If you're enhancing your natural beauty, and some people get it right, I'd say more people get it wrong and get it right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Justin, have you done any microneedling, what have you done to your face?
I had a little bit of acne. I went on YouTube. I found the gayest YouTuber with the most followers. This dude knew everything. He gave me exactly what products to buy, bought them, fixed it. That's it. I've never done anything since.
Did it work?
Totally.
Totally.
Yep.
Interesting. I want to understand more. I want to get into the business model, the square footage, the investment, item 19, if we have one. Let's just start with the footprint of the franchise. What size space do we need for this?
You could go as small as, say, 1,000 square feet. That'd be 3 rooms.
Wow.
Nice. Okay. We love small footprints.
Wow.
I mean, with 3 estheticians, you'd likely be profitable. You're not going to need a lot of overhead. You're going to have a manager, part-time assistant, front desk person, 3 estes. Your overhead's not going to be that high because your rent's not going to be that high for 1,000 square right. feet. Staff's not that high, but you could still do 3 times 7 to 8 a day, 21 a day. You could do 450 facials, 400 to 450 a month. Our average revenue per facial is probably around 150. So you could do 60,000 a month if you did 400.
This is the benefit of a founder starting out in an expensive market. They understand the cost of real estate in some of these areas. It's the founders who start out in the middle of nowhere. Once they get to Seattle or Northern California, it's like, whoa, my franchisee is going to be paying $15,000, $20,000 a month in rent. It's like, yeah, do you plan on doing $3 million in revenue?
We do not recommend that.
Yep.
You know, yeah, nobody's going to make $3 million in revenue in this business. This business is more suited towards somebody making $60,000 but keeping their overhead down that's under right. 40. I mean, that's the better option. And there, that's where 1,000 square feet or 1,500 square feet, where you got 3 or 4 rooms and you got 3 or 4 estheticians, a front desk person or assistant manager, and the manager could be the owner, operator, but you're down to salaries and pay down with $15,000 or less. Your rent at $4,000 or less, and your product costs and advertising, maybe you're at 30 all in. So if you're doing even 40, you're still doing okay. If you're doing 50, you're doing great. If you're doing 60, you're doing phenomenal. You know, so it's better to keep the overhead low and keep the traffic be busy, you know, rather than having a large location and trying to fill that up.
When you say 40, 50, 60, just for clarity, what are you referring to? Monthly revenue or annualized net?
Monthly revenue.
Excellent. 40, 50, 60,000 a month. Do we have an item 19?
We've got an item 19, but it's not, that's not in there. What's in there is the gross margins, the new members, the average product sale per visit, and something else. But the revenue is not in there.
Okay. How many locations are operating?
Yeah, it looks like there's a few in Nebraska. Are those your first franchisees in Nebraska?
No, those are corporates. So one is a pseudo franchise, but me and Shay are the franchisee. So we call it a corporate store. We don't really call it a franchise. But no, we have franchisees on the go right now, but we have no franchisees open.
Okay. All right. So the item 19 just talks about margins and how much money they could make, but not how much, let's say, top line gross or bottom line. And that's fine. At least you've given someone something to extrapolate to understand, you know, margin and profitability.
It's not difficult to do the math, right? I mean, everybody can figure out their rent, their product costs, their staffing, their advertising. So ultimately, we made the mistake of opening up 2 locations with 6 rooms, right? So we know now that that doesn't make any sense. You're better off to have 3 or 4 rooms.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. What are you seeing when women, as it relates to men in the store, the business mix? I'm seeing more and more men getting involved
We don't have a lot of men that come in. I mean, now part of that could be the Midwest crowd, the Lincoln, Omaha crowd, where less men may be into self-care than New York or California. You know, so that can partially be it. Even in Brentwood's outside of the city. Whereas if we were in San Fran, for sure, we'd have more men. But ultimately, it's probably 90, 95% women.
Okay. I heard a lot about the products. I haven't heard anything about membership. What are your thoughts on a membership model versus just a la carte coming in as?
No, we do have a membership model where we
you do.
Either they can buy monthly or
they can buy packages of 12s, 18s, and 24s, and we offer a discount. And the majority of our business is either monthly or package memberships, one of the two.
Okay. Love membership models. So we have a flat royalty. We have proprietary products, can't get them anywhere but you. I'm sure you're controlling the manufacturing. I actually met with my dermatologist recently and I go, she's telling me I got to get this product. And I said, do you realize that nearly every product that you told me to put on my face has been found with benzene in it, you know, a year later? She goes, well, how am I supposed to know? And I go, and that's exactly why you shouldn't be pushing products, because you don't know, but you keep pushing things. And they keep finding out that they have known carcinogens in them. What have you done as a company to make sure that these products are clean?
Yeah, I mean, we are in the ingredient. That's our main thing, is it's all about the ingredients for us. So we don't have benzene in our products. We have mostly natural ingredients in our products.
Little salicylic acid.
Well, salicylic acid for acne and glycolic acid, you have to have it, you know, or it's just not going to deal with the acne as well. But we offset that with aloe vera, witch hazel, tea tree oil, hemp oil, probiotics, micro, et cetera, right? So we offset it with a lot of soothing things, like the aloe will soothe the skin after the salicylic or glycolic does the damage, but you've got to dry it out a bit, right? Hyaluronic acid, I mean, which is now more natural. It's not that synthetic. We do have some peptides. It does boost your skin a bit, but we don't have any benzene or anything like that.
I wouldn't expect you do. I was just making sure that there is some type of quality control oversight, making sure that the products
are clean. We really do focus on natural ingredients.
That's great. How long is the treatment? If I go into the, let's say you have three rooms, how long would a customer be in that room?
I mean, you could either get an hour, which is 55 minutes, or you could get a half hour, one of the two.
Okay, got it.
I mean, if you're going in regularly, you can get a decent treatment in 25. But if you're not in there as often, you probably want the 50, 55 for self-care reasons too, for both.
So Tim, there are a bunch of brands getting into this category right now. For someone who's exploring skincare, besides having an experienced, successful entrepreneur, what separates this brand? Why Skin Experts?
You know, I think the big thing is that Shelley Hancock, our chief beauty officer, she has been a leading esthetician trainer in the US for 30 years. She had a top four wellness radio show. She's got 12,000 estheticians that follow her and that buy product and equipment off of her, including our products and equipment. And, you know, we really are on the leading edge of treatments. I mean, any of the latest equipment that comes out in Asia, and that's where the best equipment comes from. Shelly's on top of it right away, right out of the gate. Any of the latest ingredients in products, again, she's on top of it right out of the gate. Our president and managing partner, which you didn't meet, Marissa Cashel, ran 70 European wax centers, so in a similar business. So you've got a lot of experience on the beauty side, on the operations side, and on the sales side.
Nice.
So a lot of support. And the biggest thing is, as you can see, our offer is very fair, a very low franchise fee and a very good discount on your products. So you're going to make money two ways, selling memberships and treatments and selling product. And in both cases, you know, we're taking less than anyone else is. We're only taking 35% on the product costs side, and we're taking only a flat fee of $1,500 on the franchise side, where everybody else is taking 6 to 8%. So if you go to an average sales of 60,000, you know, rather than paying, call it 8%, which would be, you know, 4,800, it's 1,500. And then rather than paying half on your product, let's say your product sales are 15,000 of that, rather than paying 7,500, you're only paying 5,000. So it's a big savings.
I agree. The royalty being capped, it's capped. It's not laddered. It's just capped. Man, that's like what? it's $25,000 worth of revenue that you're paying a royalty on in a normal royalty environment. That's really impressive. What's the total cost to develop? Do we know the item seven?
You know, again, we know what our stores cost because our stores, the one in Brentwood, we built right in the midst of COVID. Okay. So we were paying through the teeth. And then the two stores in Nebraska are both 2,500 square feet. So we paid too much. But, you know, for a 1,500 square foot location in, you know, not the most expensive place in the world, you know, say not New York, Beverly Hills, Miami, or Scottsdale. Okay. Not those four locations. Okay. You know, realistically to do, it's just walls. And we got the cabinetry down really cheap. It's beautiful cabinetry. And having that built in the Midwest is a big savings. You can get the build done for between 200 and 300, and, you know, then another 100 worth of equipment and furnishings, and you're in.
Okay.
Item seven, Cliff, is 375 to 865. So again, it sounds like they went too big with a few, but the goal would be to try to keep this under $500,000.
Well, that was ours. That was our own. Yeah. We're doing that from our own, where Brentwood, we pay, that's California. Yeah. And we were in COVID, right? So we were paying, so our first store was like, okay, just get it done already. And we overpaid for that one. And the ones in Nebraska are 2,500 square feet each. We would never recommend anybody opens up a 2,500 square foot store. So it's not going to be as much.
Your marketing is incredible. You've done a great job on the marketing. I mean, it was a standout marketing piece when we met you in the Diplomat down in Florida. Like, really, it was that impactful. It was like, man, where did you do that? That was a third party, that marketing piece?
No, that's Shea and Anthony. That's we're doing that internally. Yeah.
Wow. Well done. Yeah. Very impressive.
The in-store design is impressive. It looks spa-like.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. The spas are beautiful. The treatments are beautiful. The product's phenomenal. Our reorder rate's extremely high. Everything about it's good.
I like it.
Again, I wish there was one near me.
Right.
I'd be our best client. Yeah.
Every time I get a facial, I say the same thing. I'm like, that was amazing. I need to do this once a month. And then it's like a year later. For some reason, it's only when I'm on vacation. My wife has lured me into, you know, getting a pedicure with her just to do things together. She's like, come get a pedi with me. Let's do things together. So I ended up doing these things and I'm like, man, this is great.
That's why you don't age.
Yeah. And as I said, I wish we had one near us. I'd be in there once a week.
I got to do it more often. It's true. And I don't want to do it, like you said, at $300. I want a reasonable... And I want a product that's going to, as you said, make you feel and look good at the same time. I want to check both boxes, and it needs to be affordable. I don't want to do some high end, because I do it when I'm on vacation, and it's always at a hotel property resort where I'm, you know, grabbing ankles to do these things.
You've been getting hydrofacials. Now you're learning that they're tugging on your skin. It's like eggs are good, eggs are bad. There's always something to worry about.
That egg thing sounds pretty interesting.
Eggs are good, Tim. You're allowed to eat the yolk. All the vitamins are in the yolk. Yolks are back.
It's true.
Right on. I'm going to go have an egg right now. So I got to go have a couple eggs now that you mentioned it.
Thanks for coming on, Tim.
Yeah, Tim, we appreciate it.
I'm glad I could make it. You guys were really interesting to chat with.
We appreciate you being here. You have a great weekend.
Thanks,
look good. You feel good. That's what matters. You're rich. God bless you. Love what you hear on the Pursuit of Profit podcast? Show your support by subscribing, rating, and leaving a review. Thank you for being a part of our journey.